The Bright Side Home Theater Podcast is a spoiler podcast. The opinions and reviews are solely those of the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Bright Side Home Theater.
Happy New Year, home theater nerds. It's Friday, January 3rd. We're starting off the new year with episode 14 of Brightside Home Theater. My name's DJ, and this is the podcast where I talk about all the fun stuff that goes on inside your home theater. Once you have all your equipment set up and you want to sit down and test it out, enjoy it, have fun, that's what this podcast is about. Honestly, that's what a theater is about. So with that in mind, I thought I'd tell you about the new format, if you will, that I'm going to try out. Instead of just doing a single movie every week and reviewing it, I'm going to try just talking about what I did in my theater that week. I kind of got this idea over the Christmas break. The last time I recorded a podcast was before Christmas. It was Christmas Eve. We did Die Hard, our first annual. We'll do that again next year. But two things made me start to think about this. One, I didn't want to just be limited to one movie a week. And two, that's kind of not how I play with my theater. It's like if I'm having fun in my theater, sometimes I'll just get the urge to go down and throw on a scene. I was like, why don't I just do that? So that's what I'm going to try out. We're going to do that for a few weeks. We'll see how that goes. That seems easier to me, more fun. I love doing a movie, but taking an entire week and trying to delve into a movie and do every single aspect of the movie, whether it's looking into the sound of it, looking into the different scenes, looking into the extras. Some of these movies, one in particular, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, that would take me like 3 weeks for me with the time that I have to be able to get into everything and put out a decent podcast. So I'm going to jump around. And when I suggested this to my wife, she was like, yeah, that's pretty much you. That's your ADD. Go with it. And I was like, I have ADD? She's like, oh, yeah. So I'm going to embrace my inner ADD, which isn't so inner, and just talk about what I did that week. And who knows? Maybe there'll even be a video game thrown in there sometime. I love playing video games. Haven't played them in a while. I have the system all set up. Just haven't had the time. My son plays a ton of it. And that's got some of the most distinct surround sound there is. So with that, let's get into what I did this week. Well, this past week was Christmas. And Christmas morning, go to open my presents. Three boxes sitting in front of me, wrapped beautifully. My wife didn't know what to get me. And I had been talking to Rob H. over at AV Rant. I tweeted him back and forth, DM'd him. He gave me some suggestions. I was looking at upgrading my speakers from the old NHTs that I had. I had NHT Super 1s as my left and right channel. Actually, when I first built this theater in my house, which was 2001, I brought my NHTs. I had three NHTs across the front, Super 1s, and the center channel about 10 years ago, maybe a little longer, went out. Whatever. The other two were fine. So my left and rights were great. I upgraded the center channel to a B&W CMC center channel. I was thinking of, at the time, of going all B&Ws all around and never got around to it. Never had the money, whatever. And to be honest with you, the NHT Super 1s sounded so good. I really didn't have a need. And every time something was going to come up to upgrade, it would usually be the picture because that seems to be advancing. Speakers don't seem to advance in technology as fast. Anyways, this is, I've got my 4K projector. I've got everything. Now I just wanted to do my speakers. These speakers I've had, the Super 1s, are over 25 years old. So I decided to go with the NHT C3s as my left and right. And the center channel I wanted to be the NHT CLCR center channel. Wasn't sure. DM'd Rob H. over at AV Rant, that podcast. If you're not listening to that one and you're listening to this, you need to go over there. They're great. they help you upgrade everything. They give you the best advice. They keep it within whatever budget you ask them. A lot of people accuse them of not spending money, but if somebody asks you, I have a $500 budget, they're going to stick within that. If you have a $10,000 budget, people have asked with a $40,000 budget, whatever. It's a great podcast. Anyways, so he said, yes, those would be a great upgrade. So I started shopping around, found them on Amazon, put them in my cart, and was hemming and hawing. Christmas morning, no more hemming and hawing. My wife did the unbelievable thing. I was so surprised, so excited. She went into my cart, bought them, had them delivered, and I thought they were out of my cart because maybe they got sold and they weren't anymore. I didn't know how it worked. Never really gave it another thought. It was Christmas time. I had other things to think about. Kids open their presents. My wife opens her presents. And I'm like, okay, can I run downstairs? So I run downstairs, install my speakers, which takes about 2 hours because there's walls involved because my speakers are kind of set into cubbies in the walls. And you have to do it right. And, of course, you also have to run Audacity Multi-EQ. Well, I do. You don't have to, but I do. So I get to rerun this, and this is fun. I'm excited. First step of running your Multi-EQ is they got to check for your subwoofers. So my front subwoofer, fine. My second subwoofer told me to turn it up. So I go back there to turn it up. I got nothing. I have no sound coming out of it. Make a couple checks here and there, check connections, go behind the receiver. The connection for the sub into the receiver, disconnected. Have no idea why, have no idea how. I have a guess. My son came home at Thanksgiving. He put his PlayStation into the rack, which is in a closet separate from the theater. And maybe he bumped it. I'm not accusing him. I have no idea because I literally have no idea. I'm just guessing at something that could have happened that would have done that. So for the last at least month, I'm guessing, from Thanksgiving to Christmas, I was running on one sub. And if you listen to my Die Hard podcast, I was commenting how much I liked the bass, and my son was saying, it was okay, and he was sitting next to me. Well, as we were recording that kind of bothered me because the idea of having two subs is to make it more consistent, the bass consistent throughout the room. So I couldn't understand why he said that, but he was reclined in the sub, so I was kind of writing it off to that. Well, here we are at, 10:30 in the morning on Christmas Day, and I'm like, I've only got one sub. Not to mention that the system is calibrated to run double subs, so my one sub probably wasn't putting out the full amount it could have. So I was really excited getting these speakers put in, running two subs. Christmas Day was fun. We had to get to dinner, so I only got to fool around a little bit, but I watched a bunch of the Die Hard scenes over again because they were very fresh in my mind from doing them just the day before. And there was a difference. Brought my son in. He's like, oh yeah, he could feel the thumping. Hey, it's a mistake. Stuff happens. That's why I recommend running Multi-EQ once a month. I'm just kidding. I don't do that, obviously. I know I had done it when I put my projector in, and that was 2 months earlier, and all subs were running fine then. And if you're asking, why did I rerun Multi-EQ just because I put a projector in? Well, because I built a false wall in the back of the room, so my whole back wall is all insulation for sound absorption, which will change the sound, so I reran Multi-EQ. So that was my Christmas morning. This being Brightside Home Theater, where we talk about what you do in the room, it's mostly going to be about the stuff that's on the screen. Movies, TV shows, like I said, maybe even video games. Very little about equipment. But when you get a gift on Christmas morning and you have a podcast about home theater, how do I not talk about that? I'm still talking about it to my friends. I got speakers. Great upgrade, by the way. I love NHT. Thank you, NHT. Not a sponsor. Wish they were. But how do you not talk about that when you have this outlet? So let's get into some of the stuff that I watched this week. After getting the speakers set up, everything's calibrated right. So I decided to sit down and just throw in a bunch of scenes. And I started with Deadpool. Honestly, haven't seen that in 4K yet in my theater, so I have the 4K disc, So I threw that in, watched the opening scene, really, really enjoyed it. It really lived up to all the hype that I'd heard about it. The reds, the contrast, the sound, the music. It just sounded so good. It was so, so much fun. Then I put on the opening scene to Blade Runner. Incredible. The blacks, the high contrast, the HDR in that, and the way the colors pop, the little tiny colors all over. There's stuff that you can see. When I actually had the projector calibrated, Jim, my buddy that does the calibrations, put on that disc just to show me, like, look, this wasn't here before, and there's different lights and stuff. That is a great, great disc. I haven't watched the whole movie since. I'm actually thinking of doing that this week. Actually thinking of going back and finishing Deadpool as well, if I have the time. But Blade Runner was, I've actually put it in quite a few times since I put the projector in. And it's just so stunning to watch, especially for a movie that's that old. I'm hoping for a rainy day when I can sit down and actually do Blade Runner and Blade Runner 2049 back to back and just really, you know, delve into that. That could be a lot of fun. The other movie I put in was Justice League, and I just jumped around. Sound was really, really good. I was really enjoying the speakers and just trying to get used to the new speakers. They seemed a little brighter. I didn't really make any notes on Justice League. I really like that movie. A lot of people don't. I really like Justice League, but it was just fun seeing that. And I hadn't seen that one in 4K yet either. So that one was really fun just to jump around and see some scenes. The opening music when they're playing, I can't remember the name of the song, but the opening song when they're talking, basically it's the montage for Superman being dead. It's just so clear, so distinct. So another movie I threw in was Star Wars. So this one was kind of interesting because, like, literally I was right in the middle of Justice League and I was like, oh, wait a minute, I know what I have to put in. So I threw in my Star Wars disc and I listened to the opening of that. And the trumpets in that, you know, when they first, the music just blares, the John Williams score, it's just, you know, everybody loves it. It is amazing. But at reference level in my theater for years, it had been, I don't want to say painful, but a little bright. So those trumpets were harsh. And I was like, well, that's the way it is. And then when they came out on 4K on Disney Plus, I played that, and I'm like, maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe the mix or something. They were still bright and harsh on the 4K Atmos mix on Disney Plus. So it dawned on me. I'm like, all right, I don't know why I didn't do this first. But anyways, so I throw the disc in, I put it on, and wow, what a difference. It wasn't harsh. It was so clear. It didn't hurt my ears when those trumpets blared at the beginning of Star Wars. So I put on Disney Plus, same thing. It smoothed it out, but it smoothed it out in a way that, but it was still crystal clear. Now, my original NHTs, my Super Ones, I told you they're over 25 years old. I had them in my apartment. I bought them in like 95 or 94. I was running a Bose system before that, and the guy that sold me Laserdiscs, Dave, I talked about in previous podcasts, he's like, you've got to hear Now Hear This, the NHTs. And he told me all about the company. They were pretty much brand new at the time. I don't remember when exactly they were founded, but they were pretty much brand new. And we did an A-B test. He had a back room. We did an A-B test of the, he had me bring in my Bose speakers, and they sounded so much better. So like I said, I was kind of very loyal to them. I am very loyal to stuff. So I was very loyal to them, and they sounded great for years. Anybody that came into my theater, they were blown away anyways. There was really no need to upgrade. And now that I'm hearing these speakers, these new NHTC C3s, they sound so good, so smooth, so comfortable, but so, and I don't know if comfortable is a good word for that, but that's what I'm using. So clear. And it was, I really wasn't expecting that big of an upgrade. And it's not a huge thing. I bet you most people wouldn't notice a difference. But I really think that you would notice a difference if I swapped out the speakers and played the opening to Star Wars. You would definitely hear that difference if you A-B'd that. So the next thing I was thinking after I went through all my Star Wars movies and checked out some scenes here and there, my projector has 3D. I bought the glasses. They've been sitting on the shelf. I got some time to kill. It's the holidays. I connected the glasses and threw in. I've been collecting a few discs here and there, and some of the ones I had that I didn't even know were 3D, like, for instance, Avengers Age of Ultron, the collector's edition, comes with a 3D disc. I was like, all right, let's try it. I haven't watched Alita Battle Angel yet because I'm saving that to watch it in its entirety. But the first disc I put on, and pretty much one of the reasons I wanted a 3D projector in the first place, was Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I saw this 3 times in the theater. I saw it twice in standard format, and I saw it once in 3D. And if you know this movie has, you know, it's an animated movie, but it has a lot of wonky stuff going on with the animation, and that's in standard. And some of the scenes, the way they drew some of the stuff, it almost looks like it's 3D, but you don't have your glasses on. So, like, there'll be a frame and there'll be some colored lines on the outside of it, kind of like how 3D would have the opposite color, whatever it is behind it, to make it look 3D. And when you don't have your glasses on, you see that line. Well, when you watch Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse in 3D, it looks stunning. It's very clear, very crisp. The panels pop off. There are scenes in the movie that they make it look like it's panels in a comic book. And those panels actually come forward and separate itself from the screen. So you really get, and then you get depth within the panel too. So the panel comes out, it's framed out, the frame of it is out, but then you can see into the panel. I want to say there was even, like, so this one's in, like, say it's like 239 aspect ratio, 239:1 aspect ratio. So you have your black bars at the top and the bottom. And because I was throwing in movies left and right, I didn't put in my masking that I would normally put up. Well, luckily I didn't, because some of their stuff comes out over the black bars to give you even more of that depth. And I honestly, right now, just talking about it, I don't remember if it was just the menu stuff or if there was a scene, something in the movie that came out underneath. I think it was the writing. I think they actually put the writing. Like, there was some dialogue that they wrote underneath in the movie, and it really jumped out at you because it was over the black masking. So that one I'm really looking forward to getting back and doing the movie in its entirety. But it was late at night. I want to say it was like midnight or something when I was doing all this, and I, you know, 11 o'clock at night, you decide to throw on the 3D glasses and for the first time, and this is what you end up doing. So after that, I did throw on Avengers Age of Ultron. And that looks so crisp, so good. It was just, I haven't seen that in 3D. I don't even know if I saw that in 3D in the movie theater. And it added a new dynamic perspective to the movie. Yes, it is darker. I think the projector that's a Sony does a great job of, it looks a little darker. If you take the glasses off, the scene looks all blown out and bright. But you put the glasses on and it brings the contrast down. The colors aren't the same. It's not as accurate as what maybe the director intended. It's not, you know, if you watch it in standard format and the 4K version or whatever, it's going to have everything perfect and look nice. But in 3D, it just adds it adds so much depth, literally, that I'm willing to forgive that. And it adds a layer of, well, quite honestly, fun. The opening scene of them battling and the laser shooting, and you can see the depth of the forest. Anytime you go inside Tony Stark's Iron Man suit, when you see his face, all of the icons that he's looking at in front of him are floating out in front of him. I'm dying to get a hold of a copy of Avatar because I know they did a lot of that. I remember seeing that in the theater, and that is obviously hands down, pretty much everybody says, you know, the gold standard for 3D movies. I don't have a copy of that yet. I'm dying to see that one in 3D. The funny thing is, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse sounded incredible. The sound mix on that one, which is a DTS 5.1 mix, I believe, that one, it sounded great bass, great sound. It really pulled you into the movie. So now you have the 3D, and when I was watching it, I said to my son, I go, I feel like this sound is like even better because of the 3D, because you have depth in both the rooms, the sound in the room. So, you know, you're in the environment, plus there's 3D. It's just so much more fun. It's actually more fun than going to the theater and seeing it in 3D, because you're in a more intimate environment, a smaller room, or I am. But Avengers Age of Ultron, the sound on that one was really muted. It was really flat. It especially jumping back and forth from Spider-Man to this, it was really flat, and I believe it's a DTS 7.1, and it really didn't have the punch, and it was too bad, but it didn't take away from the fun of the movie, but it definitely could have added some more depth to the movie, some more fun to the movie. So that was a little disappointing, but that is kind of the story with the Marvel movies. Their sound seems to be a little bit muted, a little bit subdued compared to other cuts. So the last movie I'll talk about was a movie I watched in its entirety. My son and I made it, you know, we were thinking, what do we want to watch? And we looked at the list and we're like, how about Angel Has Fallen? We haven't seen that yet. I liked the other movies, so we figured we'd give it a shot. And I thought the movie was pretty good. It wasn't awesome, but it was pretty good. And it really didn't have anything reference level. It didn't have, I was really, to be honest, I was probably a little disappointed. I didn't think there was a lot of great or any great stuff in the movie for sound or picture. It wasn't bad, but there's nothing to really, really like be like, wow, you need to get this disc and you need to listen to this scene. But I don't want to leave it there. So there are some scenes of note that are pretty good. And if you have the disc and you have a good system, or you want to check it out or see what I'm talking about, here's a few scenes. So the first one is at about the 20-minute mark, and I think it might even had a clip of this in the trailer, but it's when the squadron of drones or whatever, it looks like birds flying, when they come flying in to attack the president, they bring you in, the camera goes right into like the flock of drones, if you will, and they start flying in from overhead. Like, the sounds around the room are going all around you. They're going overhead. They're going from, you know, left to right. They're whizzing by on from the back to the front. It was fun. It was a lot of fun. Wasn't a huge thing. It wasn't something that I haven't heard before, but it was pretty cool. And it makes you like look around a little bit, and you're like, oh, that was cool. The next scene is pretty much a fun, bass-heavy, very distinct bass-heavy scene, and I'll call it the father and son blow up the forest scene. And that scene comes at 1 hour, 1 minute, and 2 seconds. If you start right there, you'll get the gist of it. And basically what it is Nick Nolte plays the father of Gerard Butler. And he has set charges all over the forest, and they've got to take care of their bad guys. So Nick Nolte starts letting off these charges, and when he first starts it, they just start popping off. And popping is perfect, because the pop that you get, the big booms, and it's, you know how bass, it really isn't localized, but they did a really good job of, you got the good bass feel, but then around the room in different places, even places where there isn't a speaker, they localized where that explosion was coming from. And I want to say like 5 or 6 explosions go off at first. And then as the scene goes on, Gerard Butler's character is running around trying to get some of the bad guys, and there's explosions going off, and you never know where the next one's going to come from. And it might pop up in a speaker behind you. It might pop up in front of you. When the big ones happen, you'll get the roll off from the sound will go over your head. And it was a fun scene. And, you know, again, like I said, not reference quality, but while you're in the movie, it was enjoyable. Then as the movie's starting to wrap up, at 1 hour, 28 minutes and 15 seconds, we start the climactic final battle, if you will. And they're about to blow up the hospital. all the cars pull up and gunfire ensues, and everybody, the gunfire sounded really clear, really distinct, and there's a lot of ricochets going on. And at one point, I even looked over my left shoulder because there was a very clear, very distinct sound of like a bullet hitting metal. Now, they were hiding behind a car, so I don't know what the metal was behind them because there was nothing behind them. So I have no idea what it hit back there. But it was a pretty cool little trick that they did, and it happens all over. Bullets are flying everywhere, but on top of the ricochets, you're also hearing each distinct gunfire as well. When they finally blow up the building, that was pretty much run of the mill. It wasn't as, like I said, the forest scene where you had explosions going everywhere. It was just basically your big explosion and then your roll off that you pretty much could see in almost any movie that has a big explosion in it. It wasn't anything exciting. And then as the dust was settling or, billowing out, I should say, and they're running away from it, this didn't look very good. This looked like you could see Gerard Butler and Morgan Freeman and the other, Secret Service around them. And it's like you clearly was a green screen. I think 4K in this instance really hurt it because you could see it was very clear and it looked just very weird. You're like, oh, okay, clearly that's green screen. And it kind of, when stuff like that happens, it takes you out of the movie, but it's only for a little bit. And this, this movie here was more, you go into it thinking it's an action movie and it's more of a father-son redemption story. All right, that's enough on what the movie was about. Let's get back to the last scene here. So the last scene I'll talk about is at 1 hour, 41 minutes, and 5 seconds, and it's the shootout on the rooftop between Gerard Butler and Danny Houston's character, who's Wade Jennings. Danny Houston plays great bad guy. He was Stryker and Wolverine, and he's really good in this too. But they have a shootout on the roof of this big, tall building, and it was pretty cool how when they would fire the gun, you could hear the roll off like thunder rolling across the sky, and it really added depth to the room because the sound actually sounded like it was traveling farther than your walls in your room. It was a really cool little thing they did, but like I said, this movie really wasn't anything to write home about. I enjoyed it, glad I own it, but it's nothing really reference quality here. I didn't get into any extras this week. When you get a new set of speakers and you realize you only had one sub and now you have two, watching extras isn't exactly going to really test out your system. So I really didn't delve into that too much this week, or not too much at all. So we'll see for next week. Maybe I'll do some extras because I know. So we have Joker coming out on 4K and Blu-ray, but that comes out on Tuesday of next week. And I'm really excited for the extras in that because there's so much depth in that movie. I've been looking forward to this disc since the movie came out. I'm hoping there's more information in the extras. So if I have time, I'll see if I can get that in for next week's show. It's kind of tough because it comes out on Tuesday, and I'm usually putting this podcast together on Wednesday. So we'll see what we have for time. But suffice it to say, I'm really looking forward to Joker in 4K. And we really don't have too much else coming out in 4K for new movies. We're kind of heading into that slow time, so maybe I will have some opportunities in the weeks to come to talk about some extras in different movies. I really want to get into the First Blood extras. There's a couple of new extras on the 4K release that I talked about in my First Blood episode I did about a month ago that I haven't had a chance to watch the extras on that, so maybe I'll sit down and relax and watch that on a rainy day, snowy day, or whatever. So that's all I have for this week, Home Theater Nerds. Let me know what you guys are watching. What scenes do you like? I'll talk about them on the show. You can let me know on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me if you want to be more descript at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. Please go to iTunes, rate, review, and subscribe. Let me know what you think. Hopefully 5 stars, please, because I can't afford any more 1 stars. I'm just kidding. Give me 1 stars if you think I'm that bad. It'll motivate me. And let me know what you think of the new format. Any ideas, anything you guys want, anything you want to hear me talk about or hear my opinion about. let me know. So until then, have a great weekend. Have a great week. I'll be back next Friday. Until then, have fun, sit down, relax, push play. Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey, Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.